So yesterday, the Rebbe told us that learning Torah alone is not going to elevate you, but it must be preceded by engaging one's soul and coming in contact with Hashem, and that's through prayer. You have to rouse your soul before you come to learning Torah. And when you do that, so then when you're learning Torah, your mind is busy physically, your body is busy understanding the Torah, and then your soul is able to connect to Torah, because we said the Torah really is just the outer garment from which you can come to Hashem. So therefore the prayer has to be critical to get your soul engaged. And we said it's a hard job to keep your soul awake at all times. You have to ever consciously be talking to Hashem. And the more you talk to Hashem and realize how He surrounds you, that's how you engage your neshama. And he concluded yesterday and says it's very important that tefillah isn't a question of just asking for things, but rather the tefillah itself, that closest to Hashem, that's the main thing of tefillah, and not the requests. Which brings us now to Pei Hei, the fourth line, and he brings a medrash supporting this concept. Isa b'shmos Rabba. We find in the medrash Rabba and Sefer Shmos. Amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi says, "Lama hadavar domer." What can we compare this to? He is talking about the Jewish people who are being chased after the Egyptians. After they left Egypt, Hashem has Paro chased the Jews after them. So I'm just trying to understand, like, why is God causing such an unusual state of affairs? After they've already left, the Egyptians are following them. So he says, what could this be compared to? L'melech sh'ayu abav aderech. There was a king who was going on the way one day. And a princess from a different country was screaming to him, calling out, please, Hatzileni miyad alistim. There's robbers who have captured me. Save me. Shama melech. The chivalrous king hears this. The tzilan saves her. And then he takes her back to her country. La'acha yamin. After a few days, bikesh liso sali'isha. He wanted to marry this woman. He thought she was a good woman for him. So before you get married, you got to go on a date. So he writes that she tadaber imo. He wanted that she should speak with him. She didn't want to speak to him. Oh, so the king's stuck, you know.
Yeah, it's usual.
Yeah. Me'asamach. So what did the king do? Gera ba'alistim. He hired some hoodlums to capture her.
Oh, that's an idea.
Right? Kidei shetitzach. She'd call out. V'yishma melech. And the king would hear. So what happened? The robbers catch her. She screams out to the king. The king comes, and then they go get married. Ad kan lashon hakodesh. That's the end of the holy words of the medrash. And as hanimshal betach atame asmach amevin. The understanding of this little allegory is, I'm sure you understand what it means. Hanefesh shalcha, the soul that each and every one of us has, bas melachim, is a princess. Right, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Liso, so Hashem wants to marry the princess. Meaning to say, Shetiskarev, that Hashem wants to get close, Shetisyachet Bikdusha, so that the soul should get close and that the soul should unify itself with His Holiness. Utzricha L'daber L'Sbalav, and that happens by talking and praying to Hashem. Keyedei HaTfilah, because through prayer, HaPnim is the inner prayer, Haba Mikiris alev hanefesh, misoreris mishnaso. A real deep prayer that comes from the walls of the heart, from deep in the soul, from the walls of the heart, hanefesh misoreris mishnaso. The soul wakes up from its sleep. Hoima umiyacheres b'melech malchus shalom. It longs for and unifies with the King of the world. V'hi ikara v'tachlisa shel hatfilah. And this is the main goal of prayer. Meaning to say, right? At sheyeshnon da'agos shehashem shalech osan le'ish Israeli, until it gets to the point where there are worries and troubles that Hashem sends to the Jewish man. Why? Kideshis or al yoram lispao, so that should arouse through them that the person prays. Filitzok Hashem and cries out to Hashem, mikir of libo benafsho, from the depths of his soul, his heart. Kmoos amelch, just like the king of the story, shigeres alisim, that incites the robbers of asamelch to the princess, kideshititzak alov, so that she should cry out to him. So that's what Hashem did to the Jewish people. Hashem wanted to hear the Jewish people cry out to him again. But why did he want them to cry out to him? Because he wanted to marry. What does he mean? Wants to marry them. Wants to marry them. He wants us to accomplish the goal of creation by connecting to him. The idea of marrying us is that when our neshamas, when we reveal our neshamas, and our neshamas connect Hashem, that is the goal. It's the goal of prayer. That's the goal of why Hashem created us, to have that feelings. And deep heart feelings, which we'll see in the middle of a broader context, it'll bring us back to. But that's clearly what the goal is. So sometimes if we're not taking advantage of that opportunity on our own, Hashem thrusts us into positions that will require us to pray to him for our own benefit. Hashem doesn't need us to pray to him. He doesn't need us to pray to him. But he wants us to pray to him because we get closer to Hashem. If we have a sincere prayer, that brings our neshama out and that connects us to Hashem, and that's for our benefit. So therefore Hashem will... So a lot of times you go through challenges in life and you say, what did I do to deserve this? Why did Hashem... I've been a good boy. Why is Hashem doing this? And the answer is precisely because you are a good boy. And because Hashem knows that deep, deep inside, you are a wonderful person. But you've been leading a life that's so superficially not connected to your neshama. He has to do something to get your neshama activated. For your own benefit. And then when certain... What did I do? You know what you did? You're a cold Jew. That's what you are. You didn't do anything bad. I mean, you get up every morning, you daven, but it's not without a fire. You're doing your mitzvahs, but not without passion. You're a nice guy, but nothing tremendous. And you make mistakes from here and there, but God's not interested in punishing you. He wants you, as we said before, he wants you to rise a little bit above the norm, to be able to look back and reflect down. And we said that's ultimately where it's going to come from, prayer. So he wants you to take advantage of who and what you are that you haven't taken advantage of. And at the end of the day, that's all for your benefit. And at the end of the day, it was just a joke. Just a joke, right? Because when Hashem sends Paro after the Jewish people, why did he send Paro after the Jewish people? He knew he was going to destroy Paro. That was part of the plan, to destroy Paro. So were the Jews ever in danger for 1 minute? You pretend you put yourself in Hashem's seat. You're in the driver's seat. Hashem's already decimated Egypt, right? So what's left? What's left is I have to make the final Kiddush Hashem. So yeah, the Jews are gonna suck them into it. Right? But in the process of this final Kiddush Hashem, I want the Jews to pray one more time to me. Like they prayed to me in Egypt. When they prayed to me when their babies were being slaughtered, and they mamish prayed, and they prayed from such a deep and beautiful place, and they connected to me in such a beautiful way. And now that Hashem's brought all the plagues, and the Jews could relax a little bit, they're going out of Egypt. Oh, it's wonderful. So Hashem says, but I'd like to hear one more deep, deep, deep prayer, because I want them to come to even higher realizations of who and what they are. And the only way I'm going to do that is to have their lives be threatened. But at the end of the day, it was the biggest joke. They weren't even in danger for 1 second. So that's a lot of times Hashem sends us situations where we're not really in danger for 1 second. It's almost a joke. He says, come on, you know, you haven't done it on your own, so I'm going to push you into that. I want to see your tears flow. I want to see your heart open up. I want to see your neshama open up. So then you can be in a much holier place. And if you would have done your own, it would have been great, but I understand that life has its challenges, so I'll help you get to that state. So that's a very, very important concept. And that proves what the goal of prayer was. Because if we're saying the goal of prayer is to get your worries taken care of, so then logically what should happen First should come this worry. Stamazoi comes a worry. For, you know, and now the prayer is going to come to take care of the worry. So the worry is the cause, right? And the prayer is the effect. But now we see it's not like this. The cause is prayer. Because Hashem wants us to pray. That's what He wants. So that's the cause, and the effect is the trouble. The effect is the trouble. But why? So what was the trouble there? It was. So that's the problem. When we look at events from our human perspective, we always look at them the opposite, the way they really are. Because sof maaseh b'machshava tchila. Right? We say in the Kabbalah Shabbos, the end of the action was first in the thought. What you see in the action, you know, that really Hashem had another thought. And Hashem looks at history backwards. When we look at history forwards, we think this event caused this event, caused this event, caused this event, caused this event. Hashem says, no, I want this last event to happen, so therefore, going backwards, all these things have to happen to bring us to that event. So when you look at the end of the day, so a lot of times a person is threatened with a dangerous thing, and then they pray to Hashem, and Hashem takes care of it. So then what are your feelings? Your feelings are, oh, Baruch Hashem. Baruch Hashem, things were better. But it would have been a bigger Baruch Hashem if I wouldn't have been in trouble to begin with. Right? Bigger Baruch Hashem. Right? Whatever it was you thought, you got a letter from the government, and they're going to audit you, and they claim you owe them $500,000 in back taxes for the last 15 years. He said, I don't understand. This doesn't make sense. I thought everything was fine. Believe me, everyone in this room is going to be nervous. Right? And all you're going to daven with Hashem. You're going to daven with Hashem. Okay? And then comes find the case, and you have to hire a lawyer, race, whatever. You have to do an accountant. And then finally, they go to court, and this and that. And after a while, they throw out the case. Baruch Hashem. Baruch Hashem, right? Baruch Hashem. He said, listen, wouldn't it be a lot better if the government wouldn't have made the mistake to begin with? Would it be bigger, Baruch Hashem? The answer is no. Because if the auditor wouldn't have come, you wouldn't have davened Hashem like this ever in your life. Right? So Baruch Hashem, it would have been better if I would have davened on such a good level to begin with. Then God would not have had to send me the auditor. Right? And that's what you should learn from that at the end. And if you come to that understanding, then your whole view of life would be different. Then you realize, you know, what's really important in life, and that's after look at these activities. So many times you see people going through tzaras, and you wish you could tell them, don't worry, God just wants to hear you pray. That's all He really wants to happen, and then talk to the person, talk of praise, and the thing gets better. A lot of times, and I'm not saying always. That's not the only time you have challenges in life. But quite often, that's what it is. And most of the time, it's an Irishkeit. And there was nothing to worry about to begin with. That just proves to you.
You have to worry, otherwise you will not get into that state of feeling.
That's right. But a deeper person, you see, I forgot where we quoted it from long ago. I'm trying to remember, it's just not coming to me right now. That really every, I think Rabbi Nachman said something. He said, every second your life is in mortal danger. Every second your life is in mortal danger, right? So you know every second it's all in Hashem's hands. So what Hashem says is, just give in to me. Give me the reins already. Do my ratzon. That's all. That's the ultimate point of tefillah. It's the ultimate point of tefillah, to connect Hashem and realize he's there for you the whole time. Right? That you'd look at life differently, be a different kind of Jew. Okay, questions? You got a question?
I just want to ask you the Midrash. After this whole episode, you have Shirat Hayam Midrash. So is that like the ultimate connection?
Shirat Hayam was good question. So where does Shirat Hayam fit into this? So Shirat Hayam is, well, it's really that tefillah.
It's like a spontaneous...
No, that Shira was... Typically, when we find Shira in the Torah, it's when the Jews come to a deeper realization of reality. So they came to that deeper realization of reality. That's what it says, Kalev Avelu. This is my God and I will glorify him. They mamish came to understand how events unfold and why they unfold, and they got a deeper understanding of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this world. That was the Shira. That's what Hashem wanted. He said, I want to hear them. I want to hear them again. Right? Yeah, calling out. They called out to Hashem. But the ultimate level, after they were saved, was to realize the deepest level of what prayer and connection to Hashem is all about. Yeah?
We went over this in Derech Hashem. I just
remind us,
Rabbi, it's not just, you know, people go through suffering and challenges. It doesn't always work out.
That's what I said.
But it's oversimplification, you know, most often. And the reality is, if you look at this logically, and the people who are very little or no connection to you, i.e. your secular Jew, you'd expect them to be hit with more of these challenges, so they have a reason to start connecting, where the observant Jews are already connected to some extent, to a larger extent. So I don't see this in sort of the general population.
I don't know about you, but I see it all the time. I don't know about you, I see it all the time. Every time a young couple comes to me, and after 5 years they don't have kids, so their mom is coming to me, and they're crying, and they're this, and it's the end of the world, and there's no point in living, and this and that. You know? And I say, don't you see Hashem just wants you to daven? He wants you to daven. And I tell him all the things. Every time, I haven't had one time yet that they haven't had kids. Right? And in other situations too, we worry over things that, and it looks so real to us at the time. Go tell a woman who hasn't had kids after 2-3 years of marriage and they want to have kids. Ugh, mamish, they're going crazy. Mamish going crazy. And I'm almost laughing. Because I know what's going to happen now.
Yeah.
You know, but chas v'sham, I'm not laughing, but I don't. What? What's that?
Yes, it's thank God.
No, it's not. But I'm saying I know what's going to happen. I got to guide them. To come to higher levels of tefillah. That's what Hashem wants from them. That's what Hashem wants from them. And so many times, that's all that Hashem... It's not always. So a secular person, Hashem a lot of times isn't going to do it for that reason, because they're not going to think of praying. But there are times. There are times. Baruch Hashem, there are times people, I don't know, I met with a family a couple of weeks ago. They're not members. I never knew them from Adam. They knew one of our members. They're having a certain problem. So they wanted to have a spiritual tune-up. They want that spiritual. Half my own members don't want to have spiritual tune-ups. Sometimes these people are—they're like conservative. They have a spiritual tune-up because Hashem sent them a difficult challenge. All of a sudden, they woke up. And at the end of the day, it's going to be very good for them. Amir Hashem, one day, hopefully they'll come to our shul, and they'll become Shomer Shabbos. So you could see it. But Hashem knows what suffering is for what purpose, and this—that's what I prefaced. It's far more complicated. A religious Jew can be very, very far away from connection to Hashem, very far away from connection to Hashem, and so Hashem has to send them tzaras to hear their tefillos. Regardless, it's multiple reasons. Hashem can send them it for a reason, for us, ten different reasons, but. And there are multiples. And one of the reasons is Hashem wants them to pray. And ultimately, that's always going to be one of those reasons. To have them pray. Even the Avos. Can't get firmer than the Avos. Why were the matriarchs barren? Because Hashem wanted them to pray. He lusted for their prayers. Because He knows their prayers are mamish, unbelievable things.
Would you think Hashem would want someone to pray because they really want to pray, not because of an external influence?
Yes. Hashem would love them to pray, not because of an external errand.
Life
yes.
Wonderful. Let me start doubting. Life is wonderful.
That's Hashem begs us to do that. That we should want to pray. But what if we don't?
Well, then isn't the prayer sort of less more artificial?
No, it's not. The prayer is not artificial because it's real to you. The pain is real, and you know Hashem can help you. Let's say like this, Shelley. Let's say like this. You know. You have wonderful children. You have wonderful children. Let's say your children go off to let's say Jordan goes to Eretz Yisrael, Mirtz Hashem, for high school, he's going to Eretz Yisrael, and he's supposed to be sending you letters regularly, and he's not. I'm sure, whatever. And you want a letter. You want a letter. You want a letter. You ain't getting a letter. So you decide, I ain't going to send the checks anymore.
Oh.
I ain't going to send the checks anymore. They start saying, Dad, please. I need a check. I need a this, right? So, but you know what? But he realizes it's coming from you. He realized it's coming from you and not from anybody else. Says, you know, Dad, it's been 7 years yet. I haven't got a check.
7 years?
I'm going to die without your help. You know, I'm exaggerating.
7 years.
Right. So, but the point is, when a Jew prays when he's in trouble, he comes to Hashem, then he knows it's Hashem. He's just reminded of what he really knows, but has just let it go by, hasn't dwelled on it. And well, they can pray to someone else. They cannot pray at all. What are you talking about? A Jew could say, well, I'll just try another idea. I'll do another business venture. I'll get a more craftier lawyer. I'll this, I'll that. But Hashem knows, no, he's going to daven. It's going to wake him up to realize that, you know, he's been ignoring me. He's been taking it for granted. And a Jew deep down knows who's taking care of him. But sometimes he needs a jolt to get back into place. And that's what has to happen. And then all of a sudden, they remember, oh, I taka forgot. Hashem is the one who gives me everything. You know, we say it on Imam and Shlema Papa, you sing the songs, but you don't live it. You don't live it. There's only time you lived a little bit. You may even put your life in danger. You have to have Imam a life and death surgery. At that point, boy, are you davening your kishkas to Hashem. Boy, do you sense Hashem's real in your life. Never like never before. And that is able to put you higher than you ever were before. That's the way Hashem has to do it. It's unfortunate. It's Nebuch, unfortunate. We can't do it on our own all the time. Right? And even if we can, Hashem knows how much to push us. Even if we could, but sometimes when there's suffering, even go further. And that's all. It's again like the spiritual trainer. Sometimes you gotta get pushed more. You don't know how deep you can go. And sometimes external things have to happen to push you deeper into that. You see it all the time. A lot of times people, they're going through difficult situations. They come out much stronger, much more connected to Hashem. And they would not have gotten that otherwise. Hashem sends you blessings and sends you brachas and sends you children. And that you should be praying to God and thanking Him a million times over and saying, now that we have children, we have to be more serious about our Yiddishkeit, this and that. Some are and some aren't. And says, oh, you know, I give you all these brachas. Can't you thank me for it? Can't you connect to me for this? And they don't. So Hashem says, okay, so I'm going to have to try something else. Believe me, if he's sending these kinds of tzaras, you know, especially people who have the option to wake up, it's only out of loving us. Only out of loving us. No, I think it's so obvious. I'm not telling you something that you have to stretch yourselves to just believe. It's a very logical, thing. You see it all the time. And there's people who Taka Hashem sends difficult situations and they don't take advantage of it. So there's other reasons why he did it. And they could have always taken advantage and they didn't. But there's multiple reasons. Okay, I know you're still not happy with it, Shelley, but maybe another 5 years it'll come. But that's clear. Okay, yeah.
The problem is, it's when you know that the even if you know the cause is that Hashem ultimately wants to elevate you. The problem is it's like don't shoot the messenger. If you know it's Hashem who's giving you the suras, it's hard to have a bond of love when you know that's the person who's causing you the grief. And even though it may be for your ultimate good, it's coming in a way that, you know, I don't want to get clapped on the head. I don't want the suffering. And I don't. So you don't necessarily want a bond of closeness because of the suffering coming from that person or from God.
So I guess according to that logic, if a parent disciplines a child, you don't ever want to love your parents. You have to say like this: if Hashem went out of his way to distort the normal nature of events to wake me up, boy, does he care about me. You know, if my father bothered to take me upstairs and do this and this and that to discipline me, and he didn't have to bother, he could have ignored me. It's because he cares about me. Yeah, that's your free will choice. That's your yetzer. Every situation is a free will choice. You could on the one hand say, yeah, what kind of God do I want to get close who does this? Or you could say, boy, is he going out of his way to get my attention? There's two ways to look at it. You have children grow up hating their parents for disciplining them. if children later say, they, you know, I know when I was young I hated you, but now I understand how much you loved me. Free will choice. You got a wife? Disciplines you sometimes, Howard? See, could be a mensch. See, could be a mensch. Right? Yeah, see, could be a mensch. Yeah, but at the time you're angry, yelling. You know, why you always do that to me? But, you know, later on you realize, ugh, if it wasn't for, I wouldn't be a mensch at all. Right? So, you know, so that's why he does it. He could have let things go on automatic. He could have ignored you. But he was picking on you. He went out of his way to select you out of many that I mark you for great growth. So feel honored and privileged that he cares about you.
I think the natural reaction is not one of love.
So good. So if people look at life superficially, they will never understand life. That's the way it always is. So right. So that little child will never love his parent. Okay, fine. So you're walking around life as a little baby who never goes beyond being a 5-year-old. And that's what the Rebbe talks about, the people who never grow up. You didn't give me a candy when I was 5 years old. You didn't give me a candy when I was 6 years old, when I asked for you at midnight. And you didn't get, you know, and all these things. And I hate you forever because of that. Okay, Nebuch, you never grew up. So you're a baby. So there's a lot of babies who walk around like babies. That's all. There's nothing that you can do. But there are a lot of people who understand a little deeper. Gotta understand a little deeper.
But, you know, when we talk about suffering of an adult, we're not talking necessarily candies, you know.
But they're still babies. But the adults are still babies. The adults are still babies. They're supposed to say, God, what you got? See, what would the Rebbe say? What would Rebbe Nachman say? You sit down and you say, God, what the heck do you want from me? You start talking to him. And then you start, you know, and then you start wondering, maybe there's something I'm doing, maybe this, maybe that. You know, you start looking at me, you know, I haven't talked to you in a long time. Maybe that, there's a lot that can start happening. You're right, there are those who will ignore. So there's other reasons why it happened to them. There's other reasons why it happened to them. We're talking about the person who is connected to the point where they can realize this. We're talking about you, Howard. We're not talking about the secular Jew across the street from your house. All right, there's other aspects why that's happening. Right? But that's clear. It's clear why Hashem's disciplining us. And even with the discipline, he hugs you. Even when he's disciplining you, he's still showing you that I have not totally forgiven up on you and totally abandoned you. Right? You have that all the times in the Torah, no matter how bad it was. There was always a silver lining. Could have been worse, but he didn't want it to be worse because that was too much, and I want you to hang around still. There's all kinds. I don't want to fall into this trap of, you know, well, what about this? Is what this? He's telling a klal, a general rule. The proof is the goal of prayer is to connect Hashem, and that's what he brought the medrash for. Okay, let's go. I think we've belabored the point enough. Now, 5 lines from the bottom. Va'afato, and you too. Kishabasa la'ayres nafshecha, when you come to arouse your soul. Shalot tishan, that it shouldn't sleep. V'tisalef, and shouldn't faint. V'shashat ha'oymed lifnei avichas v'shamayim yisbal, at the times when you're staying before Hashem and davening. Right, he's saying, a lot of times when we're davening, we're sleeping. We're mama sleeping. When you're davening, just staying, just saying the words, but you're sleeping. So what do you got to do? First, arouse yourself in aspects of prayer that are giving you pain, that you need. Focus on your personal selfish needs. Come on, for example. You come to the fourth bracha, Hashem, you bestow with kindness, intellect to man. Right, you got a math final in university that you know you're gonna fail. You daven Hashem, if I fail this course, I don't get into accounting. Hashem, you gotta help me. That's gonna wake you up. Hashiveinu v'inu l'sarasecha. Hashem, bring me back with tshuva. That you yearn that Hashem should open up your soul and heart to turn avoda. When you come to the 10th bracha of Berech Aleinu, 9th bracha of Berech Aleinu, Shalom avad al birchas hatzvui, it's not only a bracha for the wheat, for the grain. Rak bichlal tefillah parnasa, it's a prayer for parnasa. Right? So aren't you connected to that one a bit? Right? He's talking to young boys. Doesn't that warm up your heart? Don't you spill your soul out and pray to Hashem that Hashem should give furnace to your parents? Should be able to send you to yeshiva? That you should have the things in life that you need? Right? Howard, you ever worry about business? Ever?
Never.
Never. Right? Right? That'll wake you up. Hashem's there for you. Then your soul will awake up and reveal itself and unify it with the king, with its king. Right? Those things, the things that are near and dear to your heart, that's open up with it. Those are things that will be the point of connection. Truth is, it's interesting, you know, until the Anshei Knesset Gedolah set the 18 brachas in the order in which they were. Right? They weren't in that order beforehand. The brachas were out there. People knew of these 18 brachas. They knew about them. And they knew the three in the beginning, three at the end. But the middle 12, you not necessarily said them in any order. Depending on what was going on in your life. If, for example, there was a drought, believe me, they started with Berech Aleinu. Saying Talum Motor Livracha. If a person was going through a period in life where they weren't developing spiritually, they're having trouble learning Torah, Atochan Ein L'Adam Das. If they were finding that there were challenges, somebody was bothering them and causing their life a lot of grief, Gal Yisrael, Reino Vanyenu, depending on what was going on, the base of Mikdash was destroyed, as Tzemach David. Right. There'd be different orders. Because why? Because you got to start where it really wakes you up.
We're not allowed to do that.
We can't do that. But towards the end of the second base of Mikdash, right before it's destroyed, right, Shimon HaPakuli, the Gemara says he arranged it in the final order. He says, you know, now we got to keep it into a certain order. But there are things that can arouse you even within the Shemon Esrei. There are things.
Still add your own.
You can emphasize one of them.
Still add your own. Emphasize. No question. And that'll wake you up. There's got to be something that's important to you in your life. Isn't there something that's important to you? Something that pushes your buttons. So that's the one we say. This is the one I'm going to really focus on. This one I'm going to put some time to that till I really get deep into this. Right.
The rabbi, you said at the end, approved, finalized the order. What did they do?
Gave us text.
Gave so us what was going on prior?
They had the idea of giving das, but it wasn't an exact text.
So you mean it wasn't formally?
They knew. There's a medrash that says at different times, when certain events happened, the malachim or different people said the bracha. For example, at Akedas Yitzchak, after. He really died at the Akedah, right from fright. He was brought back to life. The Malachim said, "Mechayim Eis, Bruchat Hashem, Mechayim Eis." Different events in history. There's a medrash. I can give it to you. And all not in order of the 18 brachas. You know, an event here, an event there.
And not formally written.
But the concept was now in the world. I said, people knew there's 18 brachas. Exact words, what to say. It's no exact words. You don't need exact words. Right? So then that Shekhinah says, the formalized, these are the exact words. These are the exact words should be said for this prayer, for this prayer, for that prayer, for this prayer. Right? The order of prayer, you know, Psukkah de Zimra, Korbanos, Psukkah de Zimra, Birchas Kriyashma, how many times to daven, once in the morning, once in the afternoon, formalizing it. But still, even within the Shemon Esrei, it wasn't yet in a set order, Bedafka, until Shimon HaPakuli put and set it into an order towards the end of the second base of Mikdash. So it was obvious to arouse people to what would wake them up. And then you go on to the other things that are less stimulating, but you already are in a state of arousal then. You're in a state of arousal. You've been woken up. So those are ones to key on. And then he says, and not only when you're davening of things of personal interest and needs, but once your soul has been accustomed to get up and be aroused, when you come to the spiritual things, right, then you will burn with a bigger enthusiasm of true enthusiasm when you say them. For example, Ukishitomer la Hashem, when you talk to Hashem and say, Atah Kadosh, you are holy. Veshimcha Kadosh, and your name is holy. Tispoil nafshecha, your soul will be totally aroused. Vitargish echi omedes lifnei mekor hakedusha, and you'll feel how you're standing before the root of holiness. Umedaberes elov bilshon nocheach, and you're talking to him directly, you. Umeshapacha says kedushaso befonav, and before his face you praise his holiness. Vomeres, and you say atah kadosh v'shimcha kadosh. You're talking right to Hashem. You're saying, you're holy. Your name is holy. Everybody says you're holy. That's unbelievable. You can be saying that to God. V'tis life. And you get enthusiastic about this. V'timas. And you melt away. B'noam kedushas hakadosh Yisrael. With the pleasantness of the holiness of the Holy One of Israel. V'chein b'shor in yenetil. And in all other aspects of Tehillah, it's the same thing. You should be able to feel that thrill of talking to Hashem. Right? That's what we're trying to accomplish with our prayers. And now he says an important point, which we've said it before. And not only with the obligatory prayers of Shachris Mincha Maariv, Rakam b'chol yom, but also every day. Tishtadel amtzilucha eizes man ponui. Make an effort to find for yourself some free time. Or you make it free. Shabo tasiach im Hashem b'tfila u'bishira, that at that time you speak to Hashem with prayer and song. U'kechol asher tisragel yoser b'siach ha'nefesh, and the more you accustom to have speech of the soul, the more your soul will talk. He's going to say a very powerful paragraph here. The more you accustomize yourself to have soul talk, Yisrach keich libcha, your heart will soften. Ruchacha yisnase, your spirit will be elevated. V'nafshecha tiskarev yoser l'Hashem, and your soul will go closer to Hashem. Avol le'orer es nafshecha shetaber l'Hashem, but in order to arouse yourself, your soul, to speak to Hashem, tuchol rakim techazek es machshav techa niskeres le'el. It's only going to happen if you strengthen your thoughts, as we mentioned before, which was what? Which we mentioned yesterday? Which is, b'emunascha shehashem melo chalores kevodo. With the emuna, the belief that Hashem surrounds the entire universe. Ba'av imato ein charos, and even if you don't see it, bo ubitushas atomed. In it, and in Him, and in His holiness, is where you stand. And you can't say, I fulfilled my obligation with one thought. Okay, the rabbi told me to do it. I put my timer on for 11:30 this morning during my coffee break. I'll spend 5 minutes thinking about Hashem. It's not enough. The more you can repeat and be consistently thinking in your thoughts, these strong thoughts of Amunah, it'll be easier for you to arouse your soul to speak to Hashem who's before you. It's something you have to do often. This again, like I said, he's supposed to do this kind of stuff. You got to get used to it. You got to do it a dozen times a day, 20 times a day. Every little, you just say, you don't have to take hours. Just a minute, now, Hashem. I need your help here, please, Hashem. I'm calling up. I'm calling someone up. I'm kind of frightened to make this call. Hashem, please give me a little strength. I know you're here. You're with me here. I just a 1 minute job, but throughout the day, it's got to. The point is, trying to say, you can't segment and compartmentalize these feelings. Okay, I did it. I was yet to 11:35 minutes. Okay, now back to the real world. That's not back to the real world. Back to Hashem with you in that real world. That's what he's saying. He's saying you have to keep. That's what he's saying. The soul goes back to sleep right away. Got to keep it awake. Got to keep it awake all the time. That's why. That's what you always says. Even when you just say, "Will you see me tonight?" Im yirtz Hashem. Hashem has to want me because Hashem's here. He might not want me to go. If Hashem wants, if I'm going, Hashem probably wants me to go. It's the best thing. Those little Amir Hashems that we just say so perfunctorily, the Rebbe here wouldn't say it so perfunctorily. Im Yirtze Hashem, if Hashem wills it to be, then I will, yes, be able to see you at dinner tonight. And I hope that I accomplish something at this dinner where that's the Ratzon of Hashem. Right? Those little things, that itself is a little talk. And to say, you know, Be'ezus Hashem, you know, with Hashem's help, this shall happen. To keep saying it. You say, okay, you have a meeting, you meet with your secular people, and you say, okay, we're going to have a meeting, planning meeting, and you leave the meeting and say to them, you know, gentlemen, with God's help, we will succeed. Look, what? Yeah. We're only with God's help can we succeed. How do you think I ever succeed? And they begin to realize that, you know, you're a person who lives with God. Those are the things that keep you awake. Right? Okay. We've got another minute and a half. Vimod, bottom of the page. Where's everybody today? It's so quiet. Like, so many people here last night. Nobody. The power went out somewhere. Vimod, yikshalachal etzar ba'atzmucha eichato oimed lifnei Hashem. And if it's a little bit hard for you to envision that you're standing before Hashem, and that your soul should be influenced and enthused and excited in prayer as Hashem and His honor is right, filling the whole world. And you're having trouble with this. So because you're found in such a physical, mundane world. Your eyes only see physicality. And your hands only feel that which is physical. So here's a little tool, and you might want to work on this today. Habet na shemaima. Take a look, if you have a window seat. Look up to the heavens when it gets a little more light. Bisponein and think and contemplate. Ameitz es machshavei secha. Strengthen your thoughts. Bachashov and think, like this. Ani omeid me'ever mizeh. I'm standing on this side, and you're looking into the heavens. U'me'ever shemaima sheni. And on the other side of the heavens, whatever's beyond the great barrier, beyond where my eyes can see, Olam Acher Lagamri, which is another world. Malachim Srafim V'chol Nishmais Avos, angels, the souls of all the patriarchs, Hanavim, the prophets, Atzadikim, Ubesochim, and amongst all of them is the Kisei HaKavodim, so the throne of Hashem's glory is found. V'Hashem HaGod LaKadosh V'Neiro Elav Shechein, and Hashem is sitting on that chair. Hokelam Istater B'Alam Hazeh, the God who's hidden in this world, Sham Hadar Kvod Kol Kach Nigla, but there his glory is so much revealed. Think about that. Take a look up to the heavens and say, what's beyond that? That's a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Visualize. And remember, as we said from the Rebbe in another book, whatever you visualize is fine. Whatever physicalness that you attribute at this point is okay. Hischazei kapeit v'chashov, strengthen yourself. Keep thinking about this. Oimed ani me'ever mizeh, I'm on this side. And as far away as I am, but I know He's there. But I'm your love, Yisrael, and I'm able to say to Hashem, Baruch Atah Hashem. Blessed are you, Hashem. Oscha Hashem, it's you, that Hashem, She'einai Nesua Selecha, that my eyes are lifted up towards. Ani Mivarech, I'm blessing. Beinim Ani Roa, whether if I see you, Beinim Ani Roa, or if I don't see you. Es Einai Ani Ma'ameis, I strengthen my eyes. U'becham Istakel, and I take a look at you. And I bless you. Hashem, and I talk to you, Hashem. He's going to talk more about this tomorrow. Some tools to arouse us to get that feeling that, yes, Hashem is right around us, and that should excite us to have better prayer. Sure. He's still in the middle of a bigger thought, right, of being able to lift yourself above the mundane, which he's going to get us back to. He's going to come back to us. We just have to hold that thought.